our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy of to ask, but through the merits of the mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. This morning is confessional reading from the Altar of Confession. The chief article of the faith, Article 24E, concerning the Mass. Concerning these opinions, our teachers have given warning that they depart from the Holy Scriptures and diminish the glory and the passion of Christ. For Christ's passion was an oblation and satisfaction not for original guilt only, but also for all other sins, as it is written in the book of Hebrews. We are sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ once for all. Also, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It is an unheard of innovation in the church to teach that Christ, by his death, made satisfaction only for original sin, and not likewise for all other sins. Accordingly, it is hoped that everybody will understand that this error has not been reproved without due reason. So far, the confessional reading. This morning, from Testament, Leviticus chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. After the doings in the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall you walk in the ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God, and you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So far, the Old Testament. This morning's epistle. Galatians, chapter 3. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if he be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made, to save not to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it shall make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham as a promise. Therefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded that all are under sin, and that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So far the epistle lesson. Privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many people, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said unto him, You have answered right, do this, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked at him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morning, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spend more, I will come again, and I will pay you. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was a neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, Well, he that showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. So far the Holy Gospel.
Substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and
mercy and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My sermon theme for this morning is Christ the Good Samaritan. And it's based upon our gospel. But first, I would like to read one verse from Luke chapter 9 as follows. Luke writes in chapter 9, when the days were near for Jesus to be received up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So far, please be seated. With those words, Luke introduces to us that section of his gospel which can be titled, Going Up to Jerusalem. Luke is reminding us that Jerusalem, the city of kings, would soon be welcoming the King of Kings. One can't help notice that Luke has arranged this particular chapter between the chapter of the 9th and the 19th chapter, the kingdom of his teachings. These teachings answer the question as, what is the kingdom? Who are its citizens? What are the responsibilities of its citizens? And of course, who is the king of this kingdom? Among these kingdom teachings is this morning's gospel reading. It is a parable of the Good Samaritan. I think we all know that story very well. A certain man on his way up to Jerusalem was beaten and robbed. And to make matters even worse, people who should have known better, they ignored him. They ignored him in his need. They were either too busy or just didn't care. The embarrassing thing is that along comes a social outcast, a Samaritan, who responded to this beaten man's needs. Therefore, the Samaritan becomes a hero of the story. And down through the years, the Samaritan has become an example for everyone to follow. It's an honor to be called a Good Samaritan. But the parable of the Good Samaritan is not necessarily a Christian story. By that I mean it's not distinctively Christian. Most religions, moral philosophies, they have stories which urge and encourage kindness on the part of one person toward another. After all, who can argue that it is a good thing to be humane towards others? What makes this parable of the Good Samaritan, as told by Jesus, distinctively Christian, it's a parallel of his own life. To begin with, on their way up to Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples approached a Samaritan village. And this is the beginning of Luke's kingdom stories. Christ and his disciples did not receive a very warm welcome from the residents. And as a matter of fact, James and John became so enraged that they wanted to call down fire and brimstone upon that village. It's against this background, if you will, that Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan. It is here that Jesus runs into a student of biblical law who asks this question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Was he really interested or did he simply want to put Jesus on the spot? I don't know. But he insisted, what must I do? It was a very direct question and demanded a very direct answer. And Jesus answered the question with a question. You are to study, you are a student of the law, right? Then what does the law have to say? And anyone who knew anything about the law should be able to answer that question. The lawyer had no other answer than love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responded by saying, you've answered correctly. Now go do it. The lawyer should have kept his mouth shut, but he didn't. Who is my neighbor? He had no argument with loving God. But as far as his neighbor was concerned, now there's got to be limits. It didn't take very long for that lawyer to realize that he was digging himself a hole. He was inviting disaster. To begin with, the requirements for what he might do to inherit eternal life were far beyond what he could deliver. And so it is with all of us this morning. To love God and our neighbor perfectly is fine and noble, but the reality of it, we can't. If we think we can storm the gates of our kingdom armed with only our record of keeping the God's law perfectly, we're inviting disaster as well. Instead, if we wish to enter the kingdom, we can't depend upon what we do, but upon what the King must do for us. He, King Jesus, is going up to Jerusalem in order to establish his kingdom. He's going up to Jerusalem to die the perfect atoning death for us. His kingdom is an inheritance that is ours, not because of what we do, but because what he has done for us. You see, Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan. He was despised and he was rejected. And when we think of the way in which Jesus was treated, one would hardly think that he would be the one who would come and bind up the brokenhearted, come and aid to those who were in desperate need. Yes, the story of the Good Samaritan, as Jesus told it, is a magnificent portrait of himself. Along the road of life, this God-man, often shamefully treated, stoops down to pick up the fallen, bind the broken, bandage the wounded. The world passes by on the other side. It's every man for himself. But Jesus stops at his own expense and inconvenience. Jesus goes beyond the limit by saying, whatever else it costs to restore this beaten man, I will pay. Yes, that includes all of us, broken, beaten, lying alongside the road, unable to move, unable to do anything about our own temporal situation. We're all terminal when it comes to sin, destroyed by our own sin. But thank God there is an answer to that death battle. Down the road, stretching between Jerusalem and Jericho of life, comes Jesus Christ, binding, healing, restoring, putting us back together again, saying, now go and do likewise. For the oil of grace and forgiveness have been poured into our wounds. Our sin and sickness has been removed as far as the east is from the west. And what makes this parable of the Good Samaritan, this is what makes the parable of the Good Samaritan a Christian. The story of the Good Samaritan is not a story of pious platitude. It's a story that puts the finger on the reality of life itself. Share Christ. Share the forgiveness that we know, that is ours only through our Savior Jesus Christ. And what Jesus will say to each and every one of us this morning, go and do the likewise. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us this morning, and extend itself in the joy of the eternal life of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Oh,
time, let's do so. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who called us unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly peace that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us this body garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith, increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
Oh,
kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
True blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all our sins. Take drink. This is the true blood, shed for the remission of all your sins. This is the true blood.
Body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and of life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
True body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
thee and to prove love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Lift up his kingdom upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.